One of the things that's so hard for all of us to comprehend as we are on this journey, and that we are truly pilgrims, is that the things that I've spent a lifetime compensating for and adjusting my personality over and manipulating myself. When those things are brought to the surface, our response is total fear, panic, weirdness. And when that happens, we end up, we know all the cliches about religion, that perfect love casts out all fear and all that. So then we go through doubts and we say, my God, this must not be God if I fear. But the scripture says perfected love casts out all fear. And the word perfected is the Greek word teleos, which means tested. Love casts out all fears. And so an act of grace, as we move through this journey, seems like something totally different than any act of grace could possibly ever be. Because the act of grace does this incredibly terrible thing to us. It reveals our fears. It reveals our secret fears and our innermost weaknesses. And we want to run. We want to say, this can't be right. This can't be love. This can't be what God is about. And all it's done is it's revealed what was already there. But we've hidden it so well and so perfect and so complete that we have to blame somebody. We have to blame something. Our minds as a unit have to blame somebody or something. We begin and we run to our feelings. And we've always, whenever there was fear, we've run from the fear. Whenever there was some environment that placed us in something that we felt uncomfortable with, we ran from it. We covered it over. We modified it. We painted it. We did anything but face it. And so one of the common things that happens in this process, when your secret fears and innermost weaknesses are revealed, is that you have to blame somebody or something. Some of you blame God, but you can't really do that because that's too amorphous. It's too,
like running up against a wall.
You can't direct it. Some of you blame the body. This must be wrong. This is bad. But a great deal of time that happens is that you blame the spokesman, you blame the messenger. And you blame him in many ways. One of the ways you blame him is you have a dream. And in the dreams you think, oh my God, Oli is evil. Because it's simply your mind struggling to do anything but face the fact that you, as a unit, individually, are the chief of sinners. Because you know if you have to face that, the essence of you knows that you will have to pick up the cross. There's no other alternative. And so you use 1,000 gyrations and 1,000 reasons and 1,000,000 ways to do anything but face the fact that you are the chief of sinners and that you must go to the cross. Now that's one of the reasons it's so dangerous to be a teacher. Because without exception, you will be blamed for that person's fears. You understand? But I want you to, before we say anything else tonight, I want you to come to an understanding and a feeling and an internalizing that the fact that you have been taught to fear is an act of grace. Amen?
Amen.
Tim, I have been, since you got here, I have been trying to drive you away. I have been trying to just push you out. You are... When I see you, when I hear you, I'm forced to see who I am and what I've done all my life. When I see you and when I hear you, I think of, I relate to you as my, after the flesh, younger brother, who I all his life have tried to kill. And you are the most recent person I have tried to drive away and kill. I've done it to Butch, I've done it to Donna, I've done it to Tina, I've done it to everybody in this room with the possible exception of Rex and Alexis. I've done it to Oli, I've done it to everybody. It is what I am. It is what I do. I am a killer. And the two things I want to do are, I want to thank you for being here so that I can see that, and I want to ask for your forgiveness for trying to kill you.
Yeah. We still are.
Okay, let's go to 1 John. Everybody get a Bible. First John, chapter 3.
I didn't even know.
First John, it's way in the back of the book, just before Revelation, after Hebrews.
We took your place.
Yeah.
Mine will be erratic. I want to go to Daryl's Bible study. We're going to listen to music. Watch movies.
Here's your
cup.
Hey,
I can't
believe
she's
been dropping off here.
Yeah, we read an essay every morning for Daryl's Bible study.
Is
everybody?
A lot of you want to know why I insist on using the King James, right? I don't understand the King James. Well, let's find out why we use the King James. 1 John. What?
That's a question I've heard a long time. Why do you?
Well, we get it when we get new people. Because I can understand the Living Bible better.
Yeah, for sure. It's a nice Bible.
Matt, since you like to do stuff like that.
Yep.
But the one, the big fat one right there.
The heretical one.
You know, Matt, read it along as I read the King James. You read what's the Living Bible.
Where are we?
1 John.
Is this the Living Bible?
Well, it's parallel. It's got a bunch of them.
It's got all kinds of parallels.
It's got all kinds of living levels.
First John what?
First John chapter 4. From a spiritual standpoint, the idea of a spirit is somebody that teaches you something. You got that? So in 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every teacher. Believe not every pastor. Believe not something that you're gaining information from. Don't believe me. I don't want you to believe me. You're stupid if you believe me. Believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, I've told you all so often, those of you who have been here any time, what we are talking about is so dramatically different that you have got to, in your own mind, and all of you have judged this, and I know you well enough, to decide whether I am totally a false prophet or I am right. There can be, it's so wild, it's so different, it's so, it can't just be, well, he just has a little different interpretation. You got that?
I want to say something because, yeah, this goes through my mind a lot, but...
Oh, I never would have suspected that.
You're shocked. That's something you're shocked.
Yesterday, when I got home, I was fine. I was completely fine. And I felt like I talked to my dad, I talked to my mom. And my mom, of course, is always enemy number one or whatever. And she's... We're talking, and she's going... I just wish you could see what he's doing. I just wish you could see how he's manipulating you, how he's manipulating everyone. He doesn't tell you directly what to do, but he tells you what to do. You all do it. And just, you know, on and on. And I was, and it kind of freaked me out because.
Because you believed it.
But that.
That's fine. That's wonderful. She's an angel.
Amen.
Watch. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Here's the test. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth or speaks that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God.
Oh, God.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, but, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. Now, that's a massive statement, because Jesus Christ isn't just a name, he is a conceptual understanding in this time. Jesus Christ is the desired one, the finished product, the end result of all things. Every spirit, every teacher that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in your... It's not going to do it. Come in the flesh in Tucson or in Peoria. He has to have a meaning. He has to have come in the flesh, in your flesh.
Amen.
And every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is coming in your flesh is of God. Every spirit, every one, no matter if they're in Jesus' name or not, that doesn't say that is not of God, but is of the Antichrist. Black and white.
Amen.
And if Jesus Christ has come in your flesh, then it's finished.
And this was written. This was written way after Christ.
This was written 2,000 years ago.
And this is external and internal.
Internal, external. Everything. It's finished.
This was written after Christ was crucified.
That's right. This was written, the modern translators say it was written in AD 90, but that's impossible. It had to have been written before the destruction of the temple, and I can prove that to you. It was written probably in 67 AD by John, who was a teenager. He was 13 at the time of the crucifixion. 13, maybe 14, 15, somewhere between 13 and 15 at the time Christ was crucified.
Wow. I told my roommate about that the last time we were out on the road.
Okay, now, the Antichrist will confess and does confess that Jesus did come in the flesh and that he will come in the flesh. But it's only God, the Spirit of God, that will confess that he is come in your flesh. You understand me?
Yeah.
Black and white.
Yeah.
Now read what the Living Bible says in those three verses.
I'm gonna like this. Dear dudes.
Read it.
Okay, this one right. Dearly beloved friends, don't always believe everything you hear just because someone says it is a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is. For there are many false teachers around, and the way to find out if their message is from the Holy Spirit is to ask, does it really agree that Jesus Christ, God's Son, actually became man with a human body? If so, then the message is from God. If not, the message is not from God, but from one who is against Christ, like the, quotation marks, Antichrist you have heard about, who is going to come, and his attitude of enmity against Christ is already abroad in the world.
You understand that's not a translation? It's some idiot's opinion, and yet they're selling billions of those Bibles, the Living Bible.
It's all time dependent.
The other, none of the others say it either.
The modern language and the Revised Standard also say, has come.
Has come. But the King James and the original Greek says, is come. Present tense. That's the mind-blowing. It's the test. And they fuck up the test when they translate it.
It's all did and will, and none of it is.
Right. You understand?
That's right.
Anti-Christ does not mean against Christ. The word anti isn't a translation of a Greek word. It's the transliteration of the Greek word anti. And it means instead of Christ. Anti means instead of. The Antichrist has come into the temple of God instead of Christ. You're the temple. Who's in there instead of Christ? You are. And you've lived a lifetime of lies. Well, I've got to act this way. I've got to do this. I've got to be nice. I've got to do this. Jesus said, that's why he said, unless you become as a little child. An explosive wonderment. That's already there. It's there. That's what we saw what Butch said this weekend. What you do is you go back and you become as that little child in the fears and see that God's arms were around you. You don't have to protect yourself. Now, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's in you? Jesus Christ. We just established that. All power in heaven and earth is given to him. Oh, but it doesn't seem like it. Oh, poor me. Oh, my God, when I was in the hot seat, it just seemed terrible. Tested love. Cast out all fear. All we do on that mercy seat or hot seat is speed up time so you can see the test. Now, what can come against you? They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now, if you want any clearer test other than Jesus Christ is coming to flesh, then test that one. That's all they do is speak of the world. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Declarative statement. Talk about arrogance. If somebody's of God, he's going to hear it. If somebody's of God, he's going to hear what I say. If he's not of God, fuck him. That's it. Until he comes to you in need.
Amen.
Once he's in need, then you love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor by definition. Christ redefined a neighbor. It has nothing to do with someone that lives next door to you. A neighbor is someone that's in your universe in need. You then will do anything for that neighbor. You will give up your right to yourself to meet that person's need. What happens to you is unimportant as long as their need is met. That's the spirit of Christ. Now, verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us, and hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Oh no, I want to argue with him. You know the reason the only reason you want to debate or talk to somebody is because you don't believe it. If any of you have a religious background, the weakness of apologetics is apology. Apologetics is the defense of the faith. I'm not going to defend the faith to anybody. I'm going to live it. I'm not going to try to convince you of anything. I'll convince you what things aren't. You can't prove Jesus Christ exists. I've told you so often, the only thing that you can prove by this Bible to the senses is the fact that you are fallen. And the whole human race is. It has no value. It's worthless. But it's only the Spirit of God that can bring you to the point where you can hear. Yeah. Beloved, you know, that sounds so arrogant, terrible, and wild, and but let's look at the next verse. Beloved, let us love one another. The word love there is agape. Agape means what happens to me is unimportant as long as your need is met. That can only come after the cross.
Over here, thinking, how could I sacrifice everything, you know, for someone else, you know, Jackie, and, you know, just put it all out, you know.
That's the only place. The reason. There's only one reason. You are constructed by God to be a series of you respond to competing stimulus. There's only one stimulus in the world that's strong enough to cause you to lay down your interest for another. And it's a selfish interest. It's called joy. Joy is the fruit of love. Not happiness, not ha-ha, not, but joy. When your interests aren't, I'm not talking about sublimating your interest, because you'll get caught on that one.
Yeah, that'll work.
Oh, I'll just sort of, I'm supposed to act this way, because I'm a Christian. No, that won't work. There's only one way that you will lay down your life, and that is that you have experienced the joy of that stimulus.
Yeah. Like this weekend. You know, every time someone got in the hot seat, I was like, oh, my own stuff, my own shit. And then something would happen, and like, it wasn't like the stuff went away, I just didn't care.
Doesn't matter.
About my stuff. It's like that person and their hurt and their pain. Yeah. It's really wild. It was great.
Okay. Now let's go back up to John, 1 John 3, and we're talking about love some more. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. That's all that we've done in your lifetime up to now, is you've been Cain and you've been slaying everybody.
Yeah.
And the reason you slay them, the moment you will automatically slay them if they reveal by your sensory perception or even in intuition, if they reveal that your work is unrighteous. In other words, it's not valuable. That's why it says if you judge someone else, you're guilty of the same thing that you're judging them for. That's why the battlefield, that's why enemies are such a blessing. Because they reveal in you a hidden spot. The spot is, says that he presents the body without spot or wrinkle. The word spot there is a word, it's a nautical term. And it means a hidden rock just below the surface of the water that if it was struck by the boat would cause the boat to sink. So the spot and the wrinkle, it's what's being removed in us. But every single time that you anger is another great enemy. It shows you a right to yourself that you haven't yet given up.
Oh.
What?
He got real pissed off at the hospital.
We were in the emergency room. It took like an hour before the doctor ever showed up. I was getting really pissed off.
I'm sure it was righteous, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. All right. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. The word, I mean, that's too, marvel is a terrible translation of that word. It just means, it's the same kind of, what the hell do you expect? You know, it's like, the same, it's the same kind of word that's used, you know, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, as though some unique thing is happening to you, Tina. Tina goes through this shit. Well, none of the rest of you have ever done this.
No.
But she goes through this thing and she says, she's convinced that she's the only one in the world that this has ever happened to. She had a dream about me last night where I was some evil thing. What? Most of you haven't even.
Oh, that dream.
Oh, that
dream.
Mine was an epic. I had those dreams for 8 years.
Well, anyway, you know, why do you think it's strange if your mother thinks you're a weirdo? Why do you think it's strange if no one can understand you? Why do you think it's strange if you can't really, it seems it's difficult to be close to somebody? You have been, this weekend and your whole walk since you've been a believer has been a ripping away of the things that have desensitized you in life.
Amen.
You've spent a lifetime learning to be desensitized. So that you can be satisfied with plastic. The thing that's happening, and it's accelerated during these weekend things, is Mike, I mean, what are you going to be? You're going to get a charge of a football game after this weekend?
Wow, that's great.
You have ripped away the things so that now you demand reality.
It's like we went home and turned on the TV and we're just going,
This is
really boring.
Yeah. We did that today. This afternoon, we watched my mother had taped Napoleon and Josephine. And this guy.
Oh, that was a winner.
Right, but I'm saying this guy's conquered the world, and it's like. Oh, this is wonderful.
But, turn the radio on.
Drama.
But do you understand? I mean, when that part of you is being ripped. Well, first of all, you do everything about you. You think, I mean, everything. Your response to everything in life, you go, "Oh, this is strange." Or you find out, like Brenda's finding out that, you know, she talked to her mother. She doesn't know her mother. She talks to her friends. She doesn't know her friends. Well, it's a different level of existence. Think it not strange. Marvel not.
I want to say something about this.
No.
Why are you not? Yeah.
Say on, brother.
Say, I'm gonna
no
say
apologetics, just go.
The thing that, as you know, this is what was going on with me all day. And the difference between Cain and Abel is that Cain used self-effort to come up.
Cain's offering required effort.
And all
Abel's offering
was he just took something out of the flock and gave it back to God. And that is what has fueled me
my entire life has been, I'm pissed off because I keep trying so hard to get it right. I keep trying so hard to make it right. All, et cetera, and it's always refused. It's always refused. And I look around and I look at all these people and all those people, and their offering is acceptable and mine is not. And that's why I kill. And then that, and the transition into verse 13, marvel not, brethren, if the world hate you. The reason they hate you is because you have stopped making the effort to
Amen.
Please.
Amen. We know, we know that we have passed from death unto life. You can't be satisfied with death any longer. It just doesn't cut it. It's not something you should or shouldn't do. It's no longer a moral option. We know that we have passed from life, from death unto life, because, here's the evidence, because we love, agape, the brethren. Now the word of brethren is a very technical word. It means out of the same womb. Now when that's why, from your standpoint, that's why a covenant relationship is so necessary in terms of these bodies. Because, I mean, you know, there's a guy that's going to Gary and Judy's group. His name is Steve, and it's a friend of Daryl's. Well, I don't know Steve. I don't think about him. I'd be a damn hypocrite if I said I loved him. I mean, that's just stupid. But I know without exception that I love you. I mean, it's not something I have to work up.
Yeah.
It's not saying, you know, I mean, that's it. That's the arena for the test, is that small group, 10. It has to, again, and it, when it comes into fruition, into being, there's one set of things that are taking place before it gets to 10, but when it's 10 to 20 people, souls, then it is a body, and in that body, life is formed. And that you find out, my God, you know, it says in the Hallel of John, his Targum of the Hallel, it says, I find that those I once despised, I now love. But it's not love like, oh, hi. It's love, this agape, that you lay down your life for them. What?
Hi, Bruce.
Oh, hi.
Well, I'm thinking of this idea, you know, we were kidding hi, Rex yesterday about, you know, we should have been... Would everybody stand up and greet Rex? You'll notice he has a name tag on. And everybody turn around and smile and shake his hand. You know, we shook his hand, all right. We shook his hand and his feet and his head. And
the whole foundation.
I mean,
he's just here to hug Barbara anyway.
Okay. Whosoever hateth his brother, whosoever hateth. Again, the spiritual meaning of hate is to withhold. I mean, if I withhold something from you, I hate you.
I still don't know why I can't see that. I mean, I've seen it enough, but...
If I withdraw from you, I murder you.
Yeah.
The end result of withholding hate is that it has to result in withdrawing. Because you can't, there's no fellowship, it's unreal. And that's, and just, I mean, when you think of the, you know, you're a lot younger than I am, but think of the thousands of people you have murdered. It started out, you first withheld something from them, and then slowly but surely, you had to withdraw. It's not an option. It's the way you're made.
Yeah, I've seen it often enough between Jackie and me.
I gotta do it again. What I've been seeing is that what I have thought as my power, what I have used as power, has been to withhold myself, to refuse to give myself. But it's not just that. It's to present myself, make myself attractive, And then when someone reaches to withhold myself, like refuse to give myself, it's a form, I've seen it as a form of torture. It's torture and then death.
Teasing.
Okay. Whosoever hateth, it's good, you didn't want to say that just before I read this. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him.
Yeah.
Hereby perceive or see we the love of God. Here's the only evidence of the love of God in the whole face of the earth. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, the word ought to is a bad, I mean, it just means we will lay down our lives for the brethren.
It will come to pass.
It will come to pass.
What is the literal word, meaning of that word hate?
Hate.
I don't like him a lot.
Stable. It means despise, detest, loathe.
Very little. I
want
to go to the movies with.
Yucky. Gross.
Yeah, I think that much is.
Well, that's enough. Take a break. What time is it?
9:25.
Yeah. It's over. I just did it.
All right, take it, big guy.